Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm excited to announce that I am chatting right now to get an update from Equinox Gold, traded on the TSX under the symbol EQX, also on the NYSE under that same symbol EQX. I am chatting with the CEO, Christian Milo. Now, Christian, it's been over a year since I had you back on the show, and Equinox is brought up a lot from our commentators and our listeners, so I wanted to get you back on the show to give everybody more or less a broad update on where the company stands in terms of operations and some of the growth that the company can experience here in the near term. Plus also, look, the share price has sold off really ever since that gold peak back in August. And there is a conversation here about the valuation versus growth moving forward, something we'll get into a little later. Let's talk about operations here. The company has 7 producing mines, 2 in California, 2 in Mexico, 3 in Brazil. Estimated gold production this year, right around 600,000 ounces. Christian, please bring us up to speed on big picture operations here at Equinox Gold, please.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. It's amazing how things change in a year at the company. It's really moved forward in a significant way with the recent Premier Gold acquisition and sort of diversifying out our asset base. But you're right, we're doing about 600,000 ounces this year, and the focus is on California, Mexico, and Brazil for that. And in California, we've got the Mesquite mine kind of doing what it says it'll do. It's doing about 130,000 ounces a year, and we've just added 750,000 ounces to the resource there last week. And you know, we think we'll be mining there, and I wouldn't bet against us still mining there in 10 years' time, even though it had a short mine life to start with. And that mine just keeps giving and giving, and we'll keep exploring it and adding to it, we think. And then Castle Mountain up the road, we got it into production during the last year, and it's a small mine to start because it's got a small footprint, and it's doing, you know, 25,000, 30,000 ounces at the moment. And ultimately, we're going for a permit amendment there to get it up to over 200,000 ounces a year of production. And that'll probably take us 3 years to get there. So a bit of a process. We're submitting that application for amendment in the next few months here. And, you know, theoretically, we could be producing 350,000 ounces in California at a good cost. So that has a really nice growth profile. And then in Mexico, we've got Mercedes, a small mine about just under 50,000 ounces we bought from Premier Gold. It produces cash and is a nice little mine, maybe a little bit small for us. We've had a few people calling to buy it from us. And, you know, we'll entertain ideas that if people are willing to pay a reasonable price for it and they want to focus on it and put the energy into it, you know, we'll focus on our big assets. And, you know, Los Filos, the other one in Mexico, would be one of those assets. And it's gone through a challenge in the last year since we've owned it. We have had the COVID shutdown from the Mexican government, and then we've had a couple of community blockades, which have been very frustrating for us. And I do believe that, you know, the market has overreacted and basically taken all of the value of Los Filos out of our share price on the frustration with those shutdowns. And this quarter, we're back up and running and, you know, basically getting back to normal there. It's a slow process. It's a big heap leach operation, but the chances to expand that one from 150 to 200,000 ounces all the way up to 300 to 350 in a few years' time if we build that CIL plant once things stabilize there. So exciting growth profile again in Mexico. And then Brazil, boy, you know, Brazil has just been very good to us in the last 5 years. We built Aurizona. It produces 130,000 ounces and is generating fantastic cash flow. And we just extended the mine life, almost doubling it this week. To 11 years. So that one we're super excited about as a key cornerstone asset. And then we're building Santa Luz in Bahia. That should be up and running in the first quarter of next year. So we're almost done construction. It's only $100 million to refurbish that one. And it'll produce 110,000 ounces. And that'll be just up the road from Fazenda. So those two mines together are almost a complex. And they produce 160,000 to 80,000 ounces. So nice complement to Aurizona. And then we have RDM, which produces 65,000 ounces, maybe scalable to 80 to 100. So it rounds out our portfolio there. So overall, nice set of 7 producing assets going to 8 in the near term here. And in the midterm, we'll be able to take that up to 9.
Okay, a couple quick comments. Then in terms of California and that permit amendment to grow the Castle Mountain mine, you mentioned that could take a couple years, but I know that's been brought up as a potential very nice growth avenue for the company. How is that progressing and what other work do you have to do outside of simply that permit amendment to grow that production?
Yeah, I mean, very little at this stage. We've done an updated feasibility. We've, you know, done extra test work. We really have a team in place already, and we're sort of using some of the Mesquite Coal infrastructure, back office, and people to assist. And as well, we smelt the gold down there. So we've kind of got all the pieces and parts in place. The other area that we were doing some work on was actually accessing water. And we've been drilling on our property and drilling not far from our property, and all the holes are hitting water and look like they're recharging pretty well in all the test work that's ongoing. So we think the water is going to be adequate right around that property. And so the key element is amending the EIS or amending the permit. And, you know, we would assume under this administration, 2 to 3 years. If we're lucky, maybe it's not a full EIS amendment and it's a little quicker, but we think we're counting on the full EIS at this stage. And so say 3 years from now, which is perfect because it comes in after we build Santa Luz, and it comes in after we finish building Greenstone. So it would sequence in nicely afterwards.
Now let's move over to Mexico. You even mentioned a couple of the issues at that Los Filos mine. Is all that sorted now? I understand that it's back and running, but in terms of moving forward, what do investors need to be aware of any other potential risks here?
Yeah, I mean, I think the risks were more than highlighted, unfortunately, in the last year. And you know, as we invested in a new underground and new open pit, those deposits are actually on the lands that we rent from the two individual communities. And really our assessment of it from a very simplistic and high level perspective is those communities are looking for as much of the economics and investment involvement in that each of those individual deposits as possible. So as many jobs, as many contracts, social benefits, you know, whatever comes out of that, they want to be a critical part of. And the key for us is we're happy to share and work with communities, and we do very well there. And they're very, this mine is very important to those communities, contributes a lot of great stuff. But, you know, we can't disadvantage other communities. We can't give all jobs to one community, and we need to have some flexibility in our operational abilities through, you know, big mining skilled contractors versus contracting equipment from all the individuals in a local community. So there's been a bit of an argument over, you know, how much we can allocate to each community and what type of equipment we can contract in that. And I think we've resolved that. And also some of the smaller requests, but there are difficult things for us to do. And there was requests to pay blockade expenses for families that were blockading, and, you know, NGO advisor fees and that, which are just not acceptable to a company like ours. You know, you can't reward that blockade. You know, we're open for dialogue in that, but not when people are blockading the mine. So hopefully we've set some lines in the sand that don't get crossed again. And, you know, they seem to have accepted them. And this time around, they've gone back to work, and, you know, the mine is now running well. And, you know, it'll just take quarter on quarter sort of showing the market, showing everyone that we're back and stable again and working together in a partnership. And, you know, long-term, this has to be a partnership with us and the communities. And, you know, maybe our style is a little different than the previous operators, but our style will be long-term thinking rather than any kind of short-term fixes to these problems. And, you know, I think we're off on the right foot now. We've got a good new senior manager there. He's got tons of Mexican experience and understands the culture, speaks the language, and which I can't say for the previous team. So, you know, I think we've made good strides there.
Okay. Thank you for that update. Let's talk about some of the growth avenues then. We've already talked about the Castle Mountain expansion there. But what about the buying of premier gold mines here that brought in the Greenstone Project in Canada? It's a company diversifying then into Ontario. This Greenstone Project is touted as being one of the largest gold mines in Canada when it gets up and running. Take us through that deal and how critical it is now for the company to expand up into Canada.
Yeah, I mean, we just sort of pinched ourselves when we saw the opportunity to do that and to unlock that situation where they had two, call it operating companies and partners, sort of arguing over how to deliver that project and how to fund it and the timelines and stuff. And so us and Orion went in, you know, sort of sequentially, but Orion went in to buy out one of the partners, and we said, we'll basically buy out the other partner. And then we said to Orion, we'd like to be the controlling operating partner. So we bought an extra 10% to get us to 60% of that project. So we'll fund 60% of the capital. We'll obviously get 60% of the benefits. And Orion is a fund that in the long term probably will be a seller. So there's a chance to own 100% maybe eventually. But it de-risks the funding of give or take $1.5 billion Canadian of capital, which we'll fund 60% of. So it's nice to have a nice deep pocket partner. And we're just getting that project up and ready to launch into construction here in the next number of months. And but when we look at it, it's a 14-year mine life, 5.5 million ounces in Ontario, in a great part of the world where they're very excited to have the mine up and running, the communities, the First Nations, the mayor, et cetera, and even the ministers from the Minister of Mines for Ontario is from that region. So we see it as a wonderful opening up of that northwest part of Ontario and future potential mines and job opportunities, which actually they're really looking for. And so we'll be a key contributor to that. And, you know, it'll take us probably 2 years to build it. So say we get going at the end of this year, you know, you're starting to pour gold in the first half of 2024.
Okay. What about some of the other growth avenues? Again, looking back to Brazil, then the first gold pour estimated Q1 2022, so very near term at the Santa Luz project, again, in Brazil. Well, what can you tell us about this growth avenue?
Yeah, Santa Luz was one that, you know, has a lot of similarities to Aurizona when we took it over and refurbished it and rebuilt it. It needed a bit of work in certain parts of the plants and the crushing circuit. And, you know, we spent $160 million rebuilding Aurizona. We'll spend about $100 doing the same to Santa Luz because it has an existing infrastructure there. So we're excited about it. The weather is better than up in the north of Brazil. There's less rain and the contractors are closer. And so, you know, we've been tracking nicely on time, on budget there. We plan to pour gold in the first quarter of next year. And then it'll be 110,000 ounce producer per year. So it'll be a nice contributor to our Brazilian portfolio. And it's got a 10-year mine life to start, and we think there's lots of upside, both underground and open pit, very similar to Aurizona. So that one is an important asset that just continues to build our track record of building a mine almost per year. So we built Aurizona, then Castle, then Santa Luz will be basically done this year. Then you get Greenstone done after that.
Okay, so a lot of growth then for the company. And you guys have been building, let's call it almost a mine per year here. When we look at the valuation versus the growth, the market cap of the company has come down over the last year, sitting right now at about $2.7 billion. That is Canadian. And again, you guys are a estimated 600,000 ounce gold producer, but there is a really timeline or an estimate to get to 1 million ounces of gold per year production. Balance out the valuation versus the growth here for the company, please.
Yeah, I mean, the growth, when you look at those projects coming on stream sequentially over the next number of years, you have the potential to add another 600,000 ounces to the production base. And, you know, it's, I think it's 80% growth roughly in the next 3 years. And, you know, there's just unparalleled in certainly the mid-tier to larger cap space. And you can't buy that growth anywhere. And our view is always to buy some assets and growth potential when the market's fairly weak and prices are reasonably cheap, and then we can go and execute and deliver on these. And, you know, now we're in that phase of executing. You know, I think the stock price, like you said, has been hit over the last year. And, you know, part of it's just the market malaise with gold equities, which, you know, for me has been a great buying opportunity. I think Ross and myself and a few others bought a bunch of shares at below $8 and in August. So we see it as a wonderful opportunity to buy great value right now. And once you get to that sort of 1 million ounce mark and you look at our peers and what they're trading at, you kind of go, geez, our multiple has a chance to maybe not quite double, but maybe double. And that means the gold price doesn't even need to move. So we just see it as a wonderful opportunity to get good value today. And we have to execute, you know, and that's the key thing. And maybe there's a bit of a discount for that, but we just have to do our jobs to eliminate that discount over the next 2 years.
Let's also talk about balance sheet then, in terms of cash, revolving credit line, and also some investments that I think investors need to understand that provide, well, more protection in terms of cash or the ability to generate cash. Share with us the whole balance sheet with us, please.
Yeah, and I'm trying to keep it simplistic, but you've got about $330 million of cash. We've got about $200 million available on a revolving credit facility with a great banking group that has lots of flexibility. We've doubled the size of the business, but we haven't actually grown the credit facility. And so you could grow it if you wanted to. You got operating cash flow that really last year is $200 to $300 million. And this year, going forward, when we're producing 700,000 to 800,000 ounces next year, will be a really nice cash flowing group of assets that will contribute to funding we need. And then you've also got, you know, we may sell, like I said, the smallest asset, maybe two of them along the way. So there may be more cash coming from that. And the really exciting part that's a little bit hidden in our balance sheet is this market value of the investments. And it's not quite $500 million US today, but it's between $400 and $500 depending on market prices. And it's really consists of two investments. We spun out Solaris Copper, or Solaris Resources, as it's now called. And Richard Warke and Dan Earle are running that since 2018 sometime. And it's gone from a $50 million market cap to almost, I think, 1.5 billion Canadian. And, you know, we own 17% still. We've already taken roughly $80 million out. And, you know, that is a world-class copper porphyry that's being delineated there in Ecuador. So we think that eventually there'll be an exit there. We're a supporting partner with Richard that alone, almost 50% when you put the two of us together. So it's pretty exciting to see that evolve. And it's a great, you know, way that we've supported other companies to grow. So we've provided them with a bit of funding, and look at the return that it looks like it's going to get on it. And then you look at I-80 Gold, and that's the other piece. It's probably worth $150 million U.S. right now. We own 30% of it. It was spun out. It was three assets in Nevada, spun out of Premier Gold when we acquired it. And Ewan Downey's gone off, and he's running that. And he basically just announced a blockbuster deal with Barrick last week. And it's incredible. He's been able to put together a few assets, find the processing capacity to handle refractory ores there in Nevada, which is not uncommon. And he has a line of sight towards hundreds of thousands of ounces of annual production there, and we own 30% of it. So we've been supportive of him and what he's doing, and his market cap is now back up to similar levels to what Premier Gold was when we acquired the whole company. So again, we're doing a wonderful job there, and we see that as a little bit more strategic because it's gold in Nevada in our backyard effectively. So excited to be a 30% holder there.
All right, Christian, I appreciate the update. A lot going on with this company, and if anybody has any questions on any aspects, the operations, the growth, or anything else going on at Equinox, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Christian back on to address those questions and for some general updates as the company progresses through the rest of this year and into next year. Christian, thank you again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Great. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.